What's up, everybody? I'm JJ John Jastrzemski.
And I'm Jason Goff. And if you haven't heard, The Ringer has gone local.
I'm bringing the fire. I'm bringing the rain from the Big Apple with my show, New York, New York.
And I'm repping Chi-Town with my new show, The Full Goal, on all things Chicago.
We've got episodes 3 nights a week with all the reaction to the local teams and guests.
Plus bonus episodes around all the big games and storylines.
So whether you're uptown, downtown, in the burbs, or a transplant,
make sure you follow New York, New York, and The Full Goal on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on cars.com.
All right, it is Manifesto Monday. See that?
I like it. Alliteration is one of my favorite things.
At the top, a little alliteration at the top of the show. I was hoping you would say that because I couldn't remember the word. we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff. Jesse is nervous, but not because of the pod, and I don't want to be alive. So I don't think we'll be working today at all. So I think it's safe to say it's going to be an excellent show.
Why did you jump to that?
Oh, it's going to be a good show. I am ready to, just been a busy week. Still waiting on the MRI results of the arm. You have to call around more than it's ridiculous.
What's the deal? I thought they called
you. Go see this guy to send you to that guy, and then that guy doesn't want to talk to this guy, so you have to like set up a communication. The medical system in this country is joke. So
don't even get me started on the CPAP. Oh, yeah. I found out.
Hey,
well,
good
it doesn't
news.
Matter.
Good news.
Bottom line,
I won't get you started. All right, Sports Cards Nonsense Monday edition. What are we talking about? We'll mix in the banter, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, well, obviously.
Your shirt says underdog, by the way.
We got the shirt from a fan at the National. He has this is a card shop out in Knoxville, but it's actually a shirt that fits me. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
It's going to be some nostalgia today. I got a whole segment. You know what? That's the other thing I wanted to bring up. You had a post in the Facebook group last week. What can we improve on?
Oh, yes.
Do you
guess? People like guests and they miss them.
Guests, which fine. We're locking some people up for the next couple. Not every show, by the way. I will never have a guest every show.
No.
I think 2 to 3 a month is fitting.
Yeah.
And they also said, hey, what about like some more collectors, like stories, you know, Mike's background in cards, Jesse's, you know, starting in cards right now. I think that's all fair. So we're going to mix in a little bit of that today. For guests, yes. I did talk to Jason Flynn, the Irish kid. We like him. He talks about soccer. He'll be on this month. He said he'd come on in November. Josh Luber, we're going to break out his manifesto today, but Luber had a nice meeting with his associate. We can guarantee he'll be on the show.
Okay.
His associate, not to be confused with his assistant.
That is my mistake. I would have never said that.
I don't know what to call anybody. I don't know what anybody does. I never know what's going on. So Luber, I'm hoping either Thursday or next week, one of the three of the next upcoming shows. I'd like to get him on to respond to this thing he wrote. That's it. And Simmons at some point. He said he'd come on after October. October was a bad month. Well, guess what? We're in November. Boom.
Dude, roasted. I have so many butterflies. I don't know. Talk me out of it. Talk me down. I woke up this
just
morning.
Here's the best thing. Just mute your microphone. I'll take it.
Just go ahead and mute out. You got this? All right, I got it.
All right, give us the rundown, then you could have your mental breakdown.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Rundown. We're going to start us off with a little Luber manifesto. His white paper that he put out last week, I think it was like Friday. Honestly, really appreciate the article. We're going to talk about that more in detail. Hopefully you guys like what you hear as well, because in the end, it's all pretty positive about.
For those who don't know, Josh Luber is going to run the company that Fanatics is going to form to take over and dominate the card world. So he released this. I call it manifesto because that's kind of what it reminded me of, like just his thoughts, kind of his general breakdown, his, you know, his.
I think manifesto gives a negative connotation, though.
It was stupid. Ted Kaczynski ruined the word manifesto for everybody.
Ruined it.
What a tool.
Hidden Ed Bundy.
But Sam Worthington caught him, so it's all safe.
Oh, yeah, that was a good.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. You keep going.
After that, we're going to discuss a little bit about what you guys thought about who we might view as the best MVP prospect this far into the NFL season. We are going to discuss a little bit, slight bit of NFT, not going to take up as much time as last week. Just want to touch on it. And then Mike, as he alluded to, is going to talk a little about what he really appreciated collecting when he was growing up.
What got me in and kept me in the hobby. Yep.
There we go.
That little collector's note there. I like that.
Some releases, some mailbag, and just some random banter that you all want to hear more and more of. Because I feel like of the posts that I put up last week, what can we do better? The guys, all of them said, just keep on bantering and then also do this. So banter, we got you. All right. That's the show.
I just got this text. I had not heard this rumor yet. Ben Simmons for Jaylen Brown. Let me just throw this in at the top of the show because it's Celtics related and Simmons will yell if we don't talk about it.
Yep.
So Jaylen Brown first is out 1 to 2 weeks with a hamstring. There was a mention of Ben Simmons to the Celtics, but it would have to include Jaylen Brown. I understand why Philly would make that trade. You add Jaylen Brown to that Philly squad, that is a dangerous team. Like front runners in the East, dangerous. They're already playing good. And I think Embiid just came down with COVID as well. But nonetheless, when that team's healthy, if you put Jaylen Brown on the court, that's a stupid good team. And I would buy everything Jaylen Brown because I think he'd be a major contributor.
But when does Jaylen Brown come back, though?
1 to 2 weeks.
But, oh, 1 to 2. Oh,
but for the Celtics, why would you want Simmons for Jaylen? I that's the one that makes no sense to me at all. I wouldn't. I like Ben Simmons. I'm not giving up Tatum or Jaylen Brown to do that. So I don't know what he does that Jaylen doesn't do. Jaylen plays great perimeter defense as well. He's a better scorer, a much, much better scorer. I guess Simmons can pass better. I mean, probably better passer. Fine.
So that's some good sports talk. How does this correlate to card talk? Who's worth buying and selling?
If Jaylen Brown gets traded to the Phillies, if he gets traded to the Phillies and starts playing baseball, big time. If he gets traded to the 76ers, that's huge. I would buy everything Jaylen Brown because I think he would be a overnight, even bigger star than he is now. And if Ben Simmons gets traded to a place he's going to play, that's good for him. His cards will reflect positively. But anyways, I just saw that and I was like, this is nuts. I say I just saw that. My buddy Richard texted me that. So, and Richard is his real name. So,
wow. Okay.
Boom.
Thank you for clarifying
okay,
that.
Okay, let's get into this manifesto. Okay, here's
the big picture.
Thank you. And here's the full disclaimer. I have looked over portions of this. I'm familiar with it. But I told Jesse last week when it came out, we wanted to play the angle of kind of read and react. So Jesse went through this. I don't do this often because it's always horribly awkward. I'm going to compliment you on this.
Oh,
Jesse, I didn't put see in that like coming. A couple hours of work, like really breaking this thing down.
Yeah.
Look, like I was actually pretty impressed. So did you say like two?
No, as honestly, it was four, but I didn't want to overhype it. So
yeah, just take it easy. No one believes four. So let's say two is believable.
We'll keep that.
We did this on purpose. I told Jesse, as soon as we are done with this show, I'm going to read it way more in depth and get very, very familiar with it for the upcoming interview with Josh, which hopefully will happen. But for today's purposes, read and react. I'm going to follow your lead here. Okay. I'm curious too, because I think this, the biggest effect is on people like yourselves. Hey, this card market could be taking a major shift. I'm new in the space. What does it mean?
And let me just give my first overall reaction when I saw that this was coming out. If I'm being 100% honest, I'm thinking, oh, this is just a guy who, like, he's going to be in the card industry. So now he's got to really start pumping up cards. And this is all that's going to be. I was sorely mistaken. I got such a better understanding of where Josh is coming from. And also, I have to say, I didn't realize that he's also a writer. He wrote this well enough to where I am not a big fan of, like, reading. I shouldn't say that. That makes me sound stupid. But yeah, just like reading a white paper. I love fiction, sci-fi. That's awesome. A white paper I wasn't super pumped at, but he made it entertaining. So if you haven't had a chance, check it out. That being said, yeah, this is a 50-page document, guys. We're not going to go over all of it.
How long is it? I'm curious. How long does it take to write a 50-page document?
It took him 4 months, he said, off and on over 4 months, basically. So this has not just been like he wrote this in a weekend or anything like that. And what's cool, too, is he basically any of the facts that he throws in here, he does have like footnotes referencing and an appendix referencing all this stuff. So it's yes, he does emphasize this is his own opinion, but it does seem to be backed by a lot of fact. Which
also
is really
heavily
cool.
Influenced by Card Ladder. I like seeing that.
Oh, well, yeah, just raw data.
Yeah, we don't talk about Card Ladder on here enough anymore.
Well, they should pay us more money. That would be really cool.
Okay, take a breath. Okay, anyways, go ahead. So let's hit us with some...
All right.
We'll do like an overview here. Hit us with some specifics now.
Okay, so all that being said, it turns out Josh is a huge collector. He starts out like first sentence in the whole thing is, I have a room in my house where I keep my cards and I have a lot of cards.
Stop.
Like...
All right, hang on. And you're going to hate me for doing this. I knew he was in the space. We had talked to him that one time at that horrible meeting. I didn't realize how in the space he was. I mean, ridiculously. More. I said today on that meeting, as a matter of fact, more even more of a collector than I am. Not just in volume. I mean, like his intensity, his love of the hobby is even stronger than mine, which is good for him. Okay.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he goes into depth of like the smell of the PSA sleeves.
Never and,
like,
talked the, about smell before.
I know. So he's and that's got, how I, mean, I was again, like.
Advantage
Luber. He's got you beat.
Advantage Luber. Has he ever talked about the taste, though? Now, that's... You want to talk senses. Okay, got it.
Huh. Next time, what do Topps cards taste like? That's the foreword. Then we get into a little bit of history, which, again, as someone new into the hobby, I appreciated it, kind of letting you know, like, where... How did we get to where we are now? Yep. He talks about the boom that we saw back in the 60s and the 90s. Basically explaining how, bottom line, things started to get overproduced. That was kind of the overall consensus to a lot of that.
Yep.
He points out by the early 90s, card companies were producing as many as 81 billion cards per year, more than 300 for every man, woman, and child in the country. I thought that was an interesting fact. Just absolutely insane numbers. So
junk wax era.
Yeah. So that it also mentioned this. I found this interesting. It said, Topps, this was like a fact, I guess he did some research on. It was once a publicly traded company. Its stock price was over $20 in the 1980s. It fell to $4.25 by 96. Card revenue fell from $1.5 billion in 1991 down to $400 million. And down in 91 fell down to $400 million. And by 2008... Do you think it was higher or lower than that?
Lower.
Lower. 200 million. I mean, it
was insane.
Huge. And yeah, how much it crashed. Just absolute crazy numbers. So again, a lot of this is just kind of the history.
Yeah, let's hit the relevant. Now let's hit like some of the relevant, like the visionary points.
So some of the more interesting things that I highlighted here were... basically, hobby.
The more interesting things I want to talk about.
I have highlighted in different colors. I have highlighted in different colors what I thought would be more relevant. So this point that he makes, I thought was pretty relevant. He talks about how he basically was getting into demand and supply. Demand has to be greater than supply for this whole card thing to work out. Nothing different there, right? Everything that we've talked about. It says, hobby shops can't get enough product. Everything that Topps and Panini release sells out within days or even minutes. On eBay and Goldin, buyers outnumber sellers. And every other day, there's a new record-breaking multi-million dollar sale making headlines. If you put 101 economists in a room, had them pour over the data, and then summarize the market in one pithy, simple equation, he said, demand is greater than supply.
Yep.
That is what we're seeing. Would you agree with that?
Of course.
So that's the issue, though. How many times are we seeing, I can't find any, like, no one's buying. I'll go to the card shop, no one's buying anything. But, I mean, that's not actually the case, though, it doesn't seem like.
No, of course not. In the overall space, the demand is still much higher. And he's also specifically talking about the wax side of things, as opposed to, like, Luca base as a single. There's a differentiation there. But his overall point, yes, the wax, which still drives the hobby like it did in the 90s, wax is still much more highly sought after than it is readily available.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And so that's kind of like the point he wants to make kind of off the bat of where we are right now. But this is where it breaks down into five parts, this entire essay. Part one, he's basically reviewing growth and volatility of the market over the last 18 months. In particular, basically getting up to that run-up of Q2 of this year. You know, we all experienced that huge boom and then crash. And to get into that, he basically gets into recent growth and volatility. What you referenced before about card ladder. So there's this thing called the card ladder index or the card ladder 50 index.
Correct.
Which essentially, what is that? How would you explain that? That was basically the most popular cards. Actually, here it is. It says this tracks the aggregate daily price movements of 50 high profile sports cards. So.
And so the card itself, and then you also have the player index, which is very helpful. So the player index basically tells you, hey, over the last 3 months, this player is up in general about this much. Mm-hmm. So if there's a card that hasn't sold much over this past 3 months, you could still say, well, everything else is up 30%. This is a little bit rarer. So, okay, maybe it's up 40% instead. Mm-hmm. But it kind of gives you an overall idea of a certain card or a certain player. Yep.
He says the market, the story's clear. Basically, the market has been incredibly stable for a long time, dating back before this chart, which this chart went back to October 2019. So it's essentially a two-year chart, with prices rising a mere 5% over the 9 months ending in March 2020. So the market was overall pretty stable. You were in the market at the time. Would you say the same thing? You experienced that?
Yeah. So you're talking pre-COVID. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Year over year, there was solid, steady movement. The wax side of things was very good. Even the single side, though, you were starting to see prices tick up. Like, hey, last year, the number one rookie out of this product might have been $5. This year, they're like $7 or $8. You know, there was in general just good positive vibes. And then March came and, explosion. Right.
Yeah. And so it's basically talking about this run up of between April and September of 2020. You saw the index increase where, again, it was like 5% over 9 months. It went up 160%.
Okay. Yeah. Insane. Yep.
And so there's a number of things that contribute to that. He kind of gets into that a little bit later, but he does mention COVID lockdown and ESPN's The Last Dance, which I found that interesting that he kind of...
You know what's nice he didn't mention, though? And I say he didn't. He might have mentioned it, but he didn't start with it, is stimulus. I get so irritated when people talk about the stimulus was like mm-hmm. that. The stimulus check was the catalyst for the hobby. $600 for people who got it was not the stimulus for this hobby. It was being locked in and being locked down on COVID and having too much time on our hands, sitting around looking for side hustles. And what do you do when you can't leave your house? You turn to e-commerce. That was more to do with it. The Last Dance happened to be perfect timing because then it brought in people, a lot of our audience, I think, actually, like that type of, hey, we like sports, kind of have heard in the sports card world. We know it exists. Now we're going to dabble in it. Perfect storm. All the veterans who are in it are just spending more time, more money. All these new people are now coming in because there's this major media catalyst like The Last Dance. It was just a perfect storm. And hedge funds, VC, asset guys, you know, guys who were looking to diversify their asset classes and holdings and all that crap. Those guys came in as well. So it
talks about leading, and there is mention of stimulus later mm-hmm. on, but I appreciate this, that he doesn't attribute it to any one thing.
Correct.
Like there's multiple things that it may have had perfect a played storm. A factor.
Yep.
Exactly. But that being said, there was a lot of booms and busts like throughout this time, not things that you would necessarily see, say like a boom, like we saw in Q2, but like, a lot of like ups and downs over this time. But he said the one thing, the one big one that we hit was the 1986 Fleer Michael Jordan rookie card selling in Q1 for $738,000.
And a couple sold over $550,000. Like there were multiple sales that high. It was stupid.
Yes.
Yep.
And so crazy what he money. Attributes, and you know, who knows the real backstory to this, but he does attribute to this. And I think he mentions that the sale happened at Golden, which announced funding 17 days later, that Churning Group funding, which he mentioned to Bill Simmons a number of times, actually, in this. So mm-hmm. we should get Bill's take on all this. Get him on here. But that being said, that card, the way he explains it, and I'd like to hear your opinion on this. He explains it like this. Say, and this is just for example sake, but he says, Mark Wahlberg.
This is an analogy? Hang on.
No, this is not an analogy. That's what's funny about this. It's a funny story he relates. It's not actually what happened. It's fictional, but
yeah, but his just makes sense. I thought this was a Jesse analogy coming. I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, you go.
But you No, you were nice about it. Mark Cuban, Mark Wahlberg, both won a Michael Jordan card. They talk to Ken, and Ken says, yeah, that card's worth $100,000. It's going to be a lot more in, you know, sometime in the future. And these guys, being wealthy, being guys who have expendable income, they want to buy this card. So they see it, and they see the card market's already going up. They're okay with spending up to $738,000 because they know at some point this could be $1 million card.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of, he kind of goes into explaining that's what we might have seen in this scenario, because knowing that one day someone thought of this card as $1 million card, they were okay with spending a little bit more on it. That created such an effect of, oh, I want that card and I'm going to have it. Now other people see, oh, well, if they're spending money on it, I'm going to spend it.
There's a lot of flexing going on
there. Oh, absolutely. No, there was a lot of flexing. Mm-hmm. And so at this point, what happens, though, is you start getting more and more people buying this card. That just means there's less buyers out there who are willing to spend because they already have one.
Right. And all of a sudden your supply is heavier than your actual demand is.
Exactly. Yep. And it's kind of like a run up like that in a lot of cases. Mm-hmm. It's kind of what he explains and alludes to for the big boom. Now, he does mention the stimulus.
By the way, with that Jordan, so I did end up buying a Jordan, not a PSA 10. This is another one of those cards I just think is weird. I ended up buying a BGS 9.5. It's a minimum gem, so it has 3 9.5 subs, 1 9 sub, but centering is a 9.5. Although you can tell the card is not clearly, it's clearly not 50-50, but it still met the parameters to be a 9.5.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up just buying that card outright, but months after all this, well, really almost a year after this.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Because I just thought two factors. I think the super spike had come way down and people were like, okay, that card's run up. Now it's going to fall. And then my other thing was, well, why is a BGS card worth? I mean, what the high sale on a PSA 10 was like $750, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I spent it was either $60,000 or $62,000. Now, that's obviously a lot of money. But,
sure.
But for a gem mint, and I don't like Beckett all that much anyways. I'm not sitting here. But for a Beckett card to sell for that much less. And one, actually, a PSA 10 sold for $800,000 plus a few months ago. So that's what I think is crazy with this card.
You still have it, right?
Mm-hmm. Just sitting on the box. Because I honestly, my thought with that was not only the number of gems in a Beckett holder that are available, but the number that have a 9.5 on centering. I think if I hold that card a year or two, I think it might actually hit $100,000. Yeah.
Really? Okay.
And again, to me, it's like, that's a pretty good return on a big chunk of money. And I think it's safe money. It's not a Joe Burrow card where I'm worried I got to move it in the next month or two. So, but my whole point in saying this, is I agree with this part of Josh's thing. I agree with, I wasn't going to buy in during this flexing period just because, hey, I can do it too. Great. And we're all awesome and spending millions of dollars on cards. To me, it's like, you just let big money guys come in and flex and do their thing. And then just hang out in the wake. You can make money doing I think.
Like you said, like that whole flex thing, what that really starts is a whole, you know, cycle of FOMO. You know, like everyone's going to, either the card's not going to be available or the prices are going to go up even more so. And so it just keeps re-emphasizing the need that I need to go out there and buy this before I don't have the ability to.
And it was across the board, because all of a sudden the spillover was 1990 hoops PSA to 10 Jordans went from $60 to $400.
Yes.
Like 93 flare. Like it just had a whole crazy trickle down effect like nothing I've ever seen. So
now he points out too that it appears at this point the market's stabilized. Many of those deeper fears have for most part extinguished.
Agreed.
And that's kind of what we're showing in the graph too. You can see in the graph there's this huge spike, but as we've mentioned several times before, the where we've come down to since then
higher has never reached than previous.
Yeah, never right. As low as what it was. And if you look at it's really funny too, because I kept thinking, man, looking at this graph, it looks a lot like the crypto graph. Like if you're looking at like Ethereum or Bitcoin or something like that. But later on, he does attribute a lot of, you know, the same sellers or I'm sorry, the same buyers of cards as crypto buyers, because they're younger guys like ourselves or younger who have a general interest in this, but also these are the same people who are getting into crypto. So you see some very similar patterns, not exactly the same, but some very similar, you know, highs and lows. Because this high in Q2 was the same time when you saw Bitcoin reach, like, what was it, like 60,000 or whatever it was for the first time.
Which is interesting, too. That's an observation we've made. That's the other point. Again, yeah. I didn't go crazy in depth. I think you said this too, though. There was a lot of points made in that manifesto that we have said openly on this crypto. I've said for months now, longer than that, there's definitely a direct connection. So,
oh, absolutely.
What do we have for like visionary stuff for like the future? Hit me with a few of those. Then we'll move on.
Give me a second. We'll jump ahead to
straighten
it.
Straighten your hair. Your hair, by the way, on point. Did you get a haircut?
I did. Russell, look at this guy. He cut that so good. Hang on. You got to give me a sec because there's... The thing that sinks is it's such good information. You could dissect this for such a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. And we will, when we get him on again, a little bit more. Like we were going to really focus on the collector aspect with him and what it means. Mm-hmm. But for today, I'm just, you know, a lot of these guys like, all right, let's talk about sports now. So,
all right. I'm kind of going through. Oh, by the way, if you guys are looking for a Kim Kardashian card, now I realize why it was so hard for us to find one.
There you go. He's been on a run buying them all.
For the most. Yeah. He mentions in here how many he's got. It's kind of crazy.
You have yours, right?
Yeah, it's not an auto though. It's autographed by the guy who actually made the card, not by her. So yeah, not quite as cool. Let's see. He talks about the grading shutdown, reduced the amount of free cash in the market, decreased demand, and undermined confidence.
No question. Yep.
Let's go.
The other thing that this whole manifesto, I keep calling it that, and that's a compliment, by the way. I don't mean that as like an insult. I really don't. Like, to me, this was this dude's thinking, very well organized and put on paper. It just all kind of led to my conclusion of he's just way more involved in the space than I thought he was. Because a lot of this stuff is stuff that we have talked about because I'm talking to people daily about this or I'm in these circles. That's why to see this, I was like, yeah, this isn't just the guy who invented StockX and did that. Like the dude is clearly, that's why I want to talk. Yeah. I really do want to get him on because I still think he's very unknown to a lot of people. Including me and you, when we had that stupid, awkward meeting months ago. I had no idea who he really was. Yeah. But granted, since then, now he's going to be the kingmaker in the hobby. That's fantastic. Point being, there's a lot more than just like a guy coming in. This isn't Michael Rubin running the company, like a corporate, like a suit who's, you know, in the business side of this. So it's interesting.
Oh, it absolutely is. And to know that he's been going to like card shows since he was a kid.
Yep.
And like, yeah, he was at the National this year, which... That'd have been cool to actually meet him there, but then he's been to all of them. Let me see. As far as, man, there's some things in here that I highlighted that I thought you might disagree with.
Go ahead. Yeah, hit me with a couple of those for sure.
So here's something. So
give me something
he talks about Prism Wax. Mm-hmm. So in 2020, he bought two cases of Prism Hobby Basketball. Prepaid $23,000 each on March 25th. Overpaid, you said.
Yep.
On March 30th, PSA shut off grading. On April 5th, the cases were delivered. He rips a case. Then he says, I'm still in the exact same place I was on April 5th. You know, and he's writing this, you know, what, 4 or 5 months later. He says, he hasn't ripped any more wax. He hasn't submitted any more cards for grading. He hasn't sold any more cards. He hasn't converted any of those cards into cash to be used to buy for more cards. And this is, I'm not saying you disagree with this part. This is something that I think some guys are doing as far as like, that may be why there could be a perceived slowdown because there are guys out there who they can't get their stuff graded by PSA and that's what they're used to.
Yep.
And they just decide, well, what am I going to do? I don't have the money to turn and put back into the market. So I just have to hold it.
And you couple that with, by the way, my orders have been at PSA for a year, so I don't have that money back either. Yeah, at some point the money runs out. Yep. Okay. Keep going. Because I did not read this part as much.
So he says, I also watched the value of my remaining case go down considerably. Today, boxes go for $1,200. He paid for a case for $23,000.
Right. So you're talking you've lost $10,000 on it.
So one potential reason 2020 Prism Wax is down almost 40% is because no one can grade flip the cards they pull. Basically, demand is down on wax and raw cards because they can't be graded. This is a different, albeit related reason why the grading shutdown contributed to the market dip. So that was kind of the thing that I was wondering if you would have the same stance on.
Absolutely, because I know guys personally who I would order extra cases of stuff. Now, granted, I'm in a position where I was getting stuff at allocation. So those Prism cases were costing me 3,000. It's funny. I can't remember anything in my life, but case prices.
Yeah.
2020. So you're talking the LaMelo rookie year. Those cases direct from distro at the time of allocation was $3,048 a case. Man. So again, yeah. Huge advantage that's from me. Insane. I'm not saying it's a brag. I just mean
he paid 20-some thousand. You got 23.
But my point is, you had a lot of guys though who'd be like, hey, order extra cases of Prism's a bad example. I couldn't get extra cases for that price. But other products, order me these cases because I'm gonna rip them myself, grade a ton of cards, flip them. I have an eBay store, whatever. Yeah, when you took away grading, because grading got to the point where you're gonna make 5 to 8x on a lot of stuff if it gemmed for a reasonable grading price. All of a sudden, those guys have no margin left because they can't grade. And even if they do grade, they're going to wait forever to get it back. The money dried up. I actually completely agree with everything there. No okay. question. The only other thing, though, left out is the 2020 class was also very underwhelming. That hurt. Yeah. You're coming off Luka, Zion, Ja. LaMelo played good, but then got hurt. You know, Anthony Edwards was being wasted in Minnesota. That also had some effect. But in general, I agree the grading thing was a huge...
And so he basically, to sum up all of that, he says the three C's worked in correlation for the Q2 correction and magnified its size.
Capital. Which
were card shows, because basically we didn't get into this, but card shows took away from pricing on eBay, which is used as one of the main places for guys to price out cards. Instead of going to eBay, which is all they had while COVID was going on, that ran up prices of cards because you couldn't go to a card show and buy it from a guy for the same price.
Yeah, so I disagree with that because eBay and card shows have always run concurrently forever before this. I don't think that was much of a factor.
So, and then crypto buyers and then card grading shutdown. Those were the
crypto
three
and cards for sure. Because a lot of people like me were upside down. I mean, honestly, you know my portfolio pretty well. 4 or 5 months ago, I was 30% of the loss. Now I'm almost 3x on my money. Gives you a little bit more play. Hey, I'm going to sell a couple coins. And so, I agree with the other two. I don't think the card show thing correlates nearly as much, though.
Well, and the big thing, though, that he points is, of all of these things, none of these point to a larger market crisis or fundamental issue in this space.
No, like you've said, corrections along the way, but not a bubble burst.
Yeah. So several... And during this time, though, we've also seen several profound indications that the market is overall healthy. Mm-hmm. And he starts listing out a number of these, like back in February, you saw Golden Auctions raise $40 million from the Churning Group.
Major, major financial players coming into the space. That doesn't scream, hey, this thing's going to burst in 6 months to me.
Yep. The sale of Collector's Universe.
Right. For almost $1 billion.
Yep, you saw, let's see, the completion of the sale of PSA.
Southern Hobby got sold for hundreds of millions of dollars.
Exactly.
The Beckett Group, whoever owns that. Blackstone was bought into.
Yep, Topps was going to go public.
CSG.
Of course, we all know what happened there, but then
crushed that.
Genement was purchased, so you got technology being bought. And, you know, we saw what happened with Target retail sales, like how it was going absolutely insane. And it goes on. There's like months of data of all these sales and buys and new card prices, new high card prices, all this stuff. So bottom line, there is a lot of things pointing to, oh, wow, we could be at the beginning of something really amazing. And so he starts with the next section of, okay, so what inning are we in? You know, people want to know.
Here's where we stop then. We've done 25 minutes on this. We're going to have him on. I don't want to regurgitate all this. I literally think we should stop right here and say, hey, Josh, we talked about the basis of it. What inning are we going to take it from there?
Okay. I think that's a good place to do it because we've kind of wrapped how did we get here? Now let's talk about where do we go from here?
What are we doing here? Some people might ask that. I don't really know.
Spoiler alert. There's a lot of problems. There's a lot. It's not to say that things are going to work out great, but there's how he makes you think about where we're at in this market, man, it makes you think this is just the beginning. Yeah. So anyways.
Which is probably not a bad idea considering we just raised a ton of money for something. So, okay.
All right.
Let's move on. That's cool. I like it. Let's tease it. Let's leave it there. I think you did a good job narrating that.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. Tis crunchy yet soft. Tis filling yet has a hole. Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's. Huzzah! A toast to breakfast.
Yeah, sorry. There's a ton to it, man. A lot of information.
Yep,
yeah.
No problem. All right, let's do this. Hit me with the two indie polls real quick.
All right. So we put one up on Twitter. We put one up on Instagram. Basic question was
MVP.
Who has been the first half NFL MVP to this point?
By the way,
what do you think the overall answer is?
The write-in votes, because you can only do a couple options. So we did Herbert, Stafford, Brady, or other. Lamar would have outranked, but I forgot to put him in just because I wasn't thinking. The amount of people though that said Kyler, I don't know if people are just not paying attention. Kyler is, I don't even think is going to be in the discussion. His numbers are not that great. Yes, the team is 8-1. I don't think Kyler's anywhere close to the top of this list. Stafford got destroyed yesterday. Burrow got destroyed yesterday.
People wanted Derrick Henry, but...
Yeah, again, Derrick Henry, a bunch of guys. That's cool. Derrick Henry's not going to play again this year. He's not winning an MVP.
Hey, you don't say that.
How dare you?
You don't say that.
Now, Lamar is interesting. So here's the two that really ran away with it. Brady overwhelmingly, which he should have. Brady's still leading the league in a bunch of statistical categories, and the team's 6-2. Brady's, again, right now... To me, he's probably in the discussion, if not the top. The other guy, though, is Lamar. I bring that up to say, Brady, the ship has sailed. Unless you, the only person I'm telling to go out and buy Brady cards right now are guys who are saying, hey, you know what? I've actually got money. I'm not looking to get in and buy, sell, trade on a day-to-day basis, but I know Brady's the GOAT. I want a rookie just to put on my wall and be done with and just hold it forever. Cool. Go out. I don't think there's a bad time to do that with Brady. Other than that, though, I don't think you need to go out and spend money on Brady if you're going short term. And he's so high. He's so locked in. They're going to keep growing over the season. I think it's a good long-term play. Collectors, you want a rookie. No time like the present. Get it. But Lamar is interesting to me because not only is Lamar playing great, I think the AFC is wide open. I keep waiting for the Chiefs to dominate. They won again and they're going to, that's the thing. They're 5-4. They're very much in the playoff discussion. Like, if you told me that the Ravens are coming out of the AFC, I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, the Bills got to... The Bills looked horrendous yesterday against Jacksonville.
Yeah, that was weird.
You had a lot of good teams. Dallas got beat by the Broncos. This is... And I think we probably at some point say this every year. This has been the most wide-open year I can remember ever, 8-9 weeks into a season. So Lamar, to me, out of all the people on that list, is interesting. Stafford stuff has already jumped crazy through the roof. Rodgers is probably going to miss another week. So 2 weeks out, going to be tough. I don't know. MVP, maybe. Kyler has not been overly impressive on the numbers side of things, which you need to be. Derrick Henry's gone. Lamar, to me, is the most interesting guy on that list still, and his numbers are not reflecting somebody who's a front runner for the MVP on one of the hottest teams in the league. It's weird, man.
Yeah, that is weird.
And another thing, too, to the Derrick Henry guys, how valuable he is. I'm not saying he's not the best running back in the league. He is. They just went into L.A. yesterday and beat the best team in football without him.
That actually gave me some hope.
That doesn't help.
As a tighten up Titan boy, sports boy, I was Okay. Admittedly skeptical if they could continue the winning streak without Henry. But man, it went well. To be fair, though, their defense came. That was not a bad defense.
Here's the other. I'll tell you another interesting play. So Lamar, I think, is an interesting play with postseason, you know, high postseason aspirations and with MVP potentially. I'm very interested to see how we talked about Adrian Peterson last week. Mm-hmm. He actually played a little bit more than I thought he would, being his first game. And the Titans, I think this is right, have the easiest strength of schedule the rest of
the
season.
That's what they said. Yeah.
Dude, I'm not so sure. This is, again,
Could be the year?
Well, maybe, but I just mean for Peterson in particular, that's mm-hmm. a run-heavy team. I do. I had talked about spending money. I just been so busy with the arm and everything else. I actually am going to go out and get some Adrian Peterson stuff because I don't hate if I'm stuck with an AP rookie auto at the end of the day. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And maybe he makes a crazy run with the Titans. I would never suggest buying an old running back. This might be the one time I actually think it's a cool idea. So
I was trying to look and see if there have been many sales, you know, anything promising. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of movement. Someone had mentioned like, stop always talking about Prism. I'm trying to pull away from it. It's just that you can kind of use that as
good
like
news.
A general gauge.
He doesn't have
but
a Prism rookie.
Yeah, there is
so we're safe.
There was no Prism there. But overall, yeah, there hasn't been a lot of movement. A slight uptick, I would say.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think it's still a decent buying opportunity. Now, a couple other guys. Mac Jones.
They're looking pretty good.
Again, I'm not saying the Panthers are the greatest team in football. But in the AFC, they're 5-4 now, the Patriots. Mac looked pretty good again. He's not lighting the world on fire, but he looks to me a lot like Brady did rookie year. Of course, we're going to make that comparison. But he does. He's a pretty good game manager. Now, he has some horrendous games. Brady didn't have any horrendous games like that his rookie year. But Brady's, that's the exception, not the rule. The defense is playing well. Some of those guys are coming alive on offense. I'm not so sure they don't end up winning like 10 or 11 games this year. I don't know. Interesting to me, though. I still think Mac is worth a look. Jordan Love does not look like he deserves to be in the NFL at all. That's overreaction because
that's
of one game.
Bad.
But the Chiefs defense is pathetic. Kid, what did they put up 7 points yesterday?
It wasn't good. Yeah, it wasn't.
I watched that game. He was brutal. I mean, like not knowing the play clock, not having any idea what was going. I think
what's surprising is he hasn't, at least as of yet, there hasn't been a huge drop off in his card.
But there also haven't been a lot of volume of sales. I think there's a lot of guys are just holding, like, we know if we put his stuff on now, we're going to get killed. I think if you're holding Jordan Love stuff, you got to hold it. See what he does. See if he gets another start this week. If Rodgers is out, which I haven't seen confirmed. Ronick, you haven't seen anything about that, right? Rodgers being back or not yet?
No, I haven't seen anything, no.
Okay, yeah, I don't think anything's been confirmed one way or the other. So if he comes back, great. For Rodgers, it's good. Obviously, for Jordan Love, he's not going to see the field again this year. So
what do you think about Rodgers in the overall... You know, the media is already, he's getting pulled from some advertising deals and things like that. Do you think this affects card pricing?
I tell you what, a lot of people don't like him. You know my thing. I got the vaccine. Do what you want to do. Make the best decision for you and your family. Rodgers comes off to me as like the most arrogant guy of all time. It is so strange. And then he's telling me like, I made good friends with Joe Rogan. So what? The guy who takes HGH like he's popping aspirin? And is like 50 years old. What does he have to say? I just think it's hilarious. And on an issue like that, to me, it does nothing more than distract more than anything. I don't care what you want to do, take, not take. I don't care. But like in the middle of a football season, it just seems like a good time. If you were really focused. And it's easy for me to say, right? I grew up with Brady, who doesn't talk about anything that's not football related during the season.
Exactly. Yeah.
But maybe that's a little bit of the key of the success and focus of the teams he's been on, too. Rodgers,
yeah,
to me,
don't
though,
have the distraction.
Yeah, just stop talking. Like, what are you trying? And now his big thing now is, well, the right's going to triumph me as a champion and the left's going to want to cancel me. Why are you talking? Just be quiet. I don't understand it. And get a haircut. Jesse got one. You can get one. I'll give you Russell's number. He'll fit you in.
Russell does good, bro.
Aaron, if you need a number, you know what? While you're in there, he'll go ahead and shave that mustache off for you because that's not doing anybody any favors, pal. Yeah. Hang on. To your point, though, and people always say, well, no, off the field, they should be able to do whatever. Everybody has rights, whatever. I'm not disagreeing. There has been a history of repercussions. When LeBron James was very active with social justice issues, and people got mad at me since the first time. I'm not saying he should have stayed quiet or he should have spoken up. I don't care. But you can see the way the hobby perceives value. again, that should not influence an athlete's. I'm not saying, Aaron, do this or don't do that because of your card pricing. But if you're in the hobby, I think it's something you need to at least be a little bit aware of if you're holding big positions on these guys or making a decision, should I buy, you know, going forward? So, okay. Yeah, good. Just stop talking.
I like that viewpoint. Yeah.
Aaron. Yeah, give me the NFT news. Let's go. Let's hit NFT stuff.
Quick little note. If anybody, all right, I got to just say, guys, if you know other NFTs that are coming out, let us know. But we're going to keep talking about Panini ones because it's the easiest platform I've ever used. And I've actually started to see how I can make money. So these packs are $10 for the base. That's already out. That came out last week.
Base Prism.
I mentioned that they have challenges. So if you collect so many of the cards in those packs, you get like a really nice NFT. Where you can make money right now is these cards that are needed for these challenges are going for a premium for the next few days while the challenge is still in place. So I've sold what was the card that I pulled? It wasn't Zion. It was, who did I pull? The bigger one, Spida.
Oh, Donovan Mitchell. Yep.
Yeah. Pulled the Donovan Mitchell, sold that for $25 later that day. Again, I bought the pack for $10. Then I just sold a Carmelo Anthony earlier today for $30. And these are for the challenges. So again, if you guys want to try and get in the flip game.
You are profitable.
No, because I've spent, I have bought now 15 packs.
But you have, so you still have unopened packs, right?
Yes. Yeah. So
at the end of the day, if I had to ask you right now, if you sold everything, how much you think you'd make more than 150?
Oh, if I sold everything. So here's the thing. I don't know. I think I'd probably be close to breaking even, but I wouldn't sell everything quite yet because they're going to continue to have more and more challenges. So each week there's a new challenge. And I have a really strong feeling that, like, say, the Karl Malone and Stockton card NFTs that I got, there's probably going to be like a vintage challenge or something where those are going to be needed. And at that time, I will put them up for sale and make some more money on them.
You know, at first, I thought this, and people are still saying, like, dude, these challenges are dumb. Why are you doing this? Right there, you know why it's not dumb? Because it creates demand for cards that would otherwise not be that big in demand.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
I'm telling you, the more and more I want to hate everything non-fungible, Stupid word, I'm telling you, it's not the worst thing in the world.
The whole
I'm trying to pull up my cards right now, by the way.
The fact that they haven't overdone this, at least to this point of like just overly flooding the market with these cards, I think is what's going to really help them. Because again, we'll kind of get into this more with that whole Josh Luber white paper, but that is such a big factor with whether or not your product is successful.
I need you to show me how to sell on there though. Cause like on the Panini on the Panini Direct site, like I'm looking at my Mac Jones, which by the way, Mac Jones gold, not bad. I have that thing now.
Yeah.
It says like I can start auction, but what if I don't want to auction it?
You can't. I think that's the only option. It's a 24-hour auction.
Okay.
You can start it at however much you want, but it's a 24-hour auction, and there's a buy it now feature on there as well. So that's really the only option.
Gotcha. Okay. But I can at least dictate the starting price. Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll do that.
All that being said, this Wednesday, NBA NFT Prism Blue Wave Parallel Packs. So that's going to come with one Prism Blue Wave Parallel and two Prism base cards. So that comes out this week. Again, those will probably also be used for challenges. I don't know how much they cost as of yet, but Wednesday at 3 p.m. Central Time. So
here's the other thing. We'll be
correction.
Done.
Wednesday, 10 a.m. Central Time. There's another drop of Donruss Net Marvels that comes out at 3 p.m. Central Time this Wednesday as well. All right, go ahead.
Here's the other thing I actually really like about the site, the Panini Direct app, because again, I'm stupid. I don't like to use new things.
Don't you say that.
So just on the card alone, you just hit view past sales just to see what it's selling for. So here's mine where I bought it for $1 because Sean sold it to me for basically free and I just paid him privately. But since then, 11.1, 11.2, 11.5, 11.2, 149, 210, 225, 225, 295 for that card. I don't care if you like it or not. I still am not like, oh, this is great. Although I am kind of like, the pack thing was cool with you. I don't hate it like I used to.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I still think it's a viable way. Just get in it for the flipping aspect. That's mostly what I'm in it for. I don't care. You're looking around. Somebody just walking. Who's in your room?
No, there's a van. Amazon just pulled in my driveway.
All right. There's your NFT 3 minutes. We're done. Move on.
All right.
I like it. I'm going to sell that Mac Jones soon, I think. No, I'm not. I'm going to hold it. See what happens.
Yeah. I think you should hold it a little bit longer.
I got it cheap.
All right, let's talk releases this week.
Big release week on Wednesday. Topps Triple Threads Baseball on Friday. National Treasures Baseball. I really like them both, quite frankly. I always have. Triple Threads, I think, is a really cool product. I like the mix of vet to rookie stuff. So give me...
To clarify, Triple Threads, does that mean there's three people on the card?
There are some that have three, but it's just the brand name. But oh, yeah, okay. Some of them are three people. Some of them are the six-player booklets. Yep. Deco booklets, cool. 10 players.
Sorry.
Yep.
Newbie over here, my bad.
No. I like I said, though, I've always liked the single side of it because I just think like the wood one-of-one cards are ridiculously nice. There's some really nice stuff in there. The white whales. So what is the price per box?
Well, you say wood. Like, is the card made of wood?
The card literally has a wood. Yeah, because 2 years ago, we pulled the Derek Jeter 101. It was like an 8-piece patch auto. And the whole surface overlay of the card is wood. And then the card ended up going to Beckett and being a 10-10. It's probably like a $10,000 card. Stupid nice card.
That's crazy.
I pulled that from my buddy Jim, I think. I think he offered that to me for like 2,500 years ago. And I was like, I don't want to make money.
That is coming out, what you said, this Wednesday. It's going for $390 on Blowout right now.
Okay. It's a little there, high.
That's 14 cards. Two packs per box, seven cards per pack.
Yeah, because it's two mini box. Right. So what's the breakdown of autos, patches, per?
It says every two-pack Master Box includes one autographed triple relic card numbered to 99 or less, one triple relic card numbered to 36 or less, one autographed rookie card or autographed jumbo relic numbered to 99 or less, and one jumbo relic card numbered to 48 or less.
Yeah, so four big hits and you get your numbered base. This is my typical stupid boring line. I'm all in on breaks. I'll buy the Mariners chasing Griffey all day for this product. I'm not buying and ripping personal boxes of it for anywhere near $400. So, but okay. I do like it for the breaks, and I like the cards themselves. I do really like. Now, National Treasures, what's the price of that?
Per box, what do you think it is?
$650.
Yeah, $630.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's not terrible. There's a couple different ways. And again, National Treasures, not licensed, no logos on it. I don't care. I still really like it. Again, because it's very vet heavy. You can get some ridiculous cut autos. I think Roberto Clemente cut was on the sales sheet. There's usually a Ruth, a Mantle, like big stuff in there. In addition to Griffey's and Ichiro's and all that. I like breaks of it for sure. This is one of those you can mess around with. Guys will do serial number breaks. So like for one box, it'll be $60 a spot, 10 spots. If the card is numbered, if the last number of the individual serial number is a 1, 2, so they'll sell it 1 through 9. So in other words, 1 out of 99 or 21 of 99, 31 of 99.
Got it.
The one spot would get all those. So a 1 of 1 would go to the one spot. I always end up messing around with serial number breaks. I still like PYTs and randoms, but I just think for cheap money, or you can get into a whole case for, what is that, like 24. So $240 a spot. You get a 1 in 10 shot at every card that comes out. Not bad.
Not a bad. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
And I like it for the vet stuff. The rookie patch autos don't sell crazy high like Bowman stuff does, but it also doesn't cost you what Bowman costs to get into it. So I don't mind it.
Is this, is Eddie breaking this? Is Gio doing this?
Eddie and me. I got a case myself as well. So we'll both be breaking stuff this weekend. He'll be doing Triple Threads though, for sure. I'll be doing National Treasures. Yep.
All right. Any other new releases or that it?
That is it. So let me give you, I feel bad. We ran this thing down so far. You know what? No, we're going to do my favorite products growing up segment on Thursday because I want to actually spend some time in it. And if we do it now, we're going to blow through it. I don't want to do that. So,
okay.
A lot of 2000 flair. I'm going to tell you that right now.
There's a lot of 2000. That 2000 was a big year for you.
And a lot of it's like 2000, 2001, 2003. That's when I was going to my dad's every other weekend. And that's all we did. Saturday morning, we got up and went to the flea market every other Saturday because it was a bunch of car dealers at the flea markets. And we would just buy boxes and boxes and boxes of cards.
I don't remember asking, was your dad ever into collecting at all?
No, but like he would always go to the shows and he would always like he liked looking at some of the memorabilia and the pieces. Like he'd think that was cool. But in terms of like buying and selling, no. Nope.
Oh, okay. All right. But, okay. Well, then I really that just leaves mailbag. But before we do that, we did want to do a special shout out to the contributors of the newsletter, the nonsense letter.
We were getting on a Zoom call with these people to talk to these guys at one point.
Yeah, we really need to just to say thanks. But
Well, if we're just saying thanks, we should say it right now. I thought we were going to talk about ideas. How many times you keep thanking them, though? I'm like, well, we'll give them a little time. We'll actually talk with them.
John McTaggart, John Dudley, Jorge Calderon, thank you guys so, so much. Appreciate you guys putting together some stuff for us. If you guys haven't already, sign up for the newsletter. Check it out. It's got not only interesting articles about the industry, about the hobby, it's got links to new video content, upcoming thoughts about what we're going to be doing on podcasts, things like that. So you can kind of be in the know. So check it out. Okay. We also wanted to mention this Thursday at 3:30 Central Time.
Mike, I didn't realize this. Am I on this or is this you and Sean?
You were supposed to be. I guess you don't have to be.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, the four of us need to be on this thing?
I mean, I don't know. I guess.
You don't have to be. You sound
Spinatron is coming out. If you're not familiar, he's very well known in the NFT space.
And the physical space, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
I'd like to know. That's fair. One question, first of all. If I'm coming on, which I don't have to, I want a real name. I'm not calling somebody Spin. I am not super familiar.
Mr. Spin?
Mr. Otron.
Otron, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's fair.
I've seen, if you follow him on Instagram, he's got some ridiculous, like, one-on-one logo man, stupid nice stuff. I'm guessing multi-million dollar collection. But he's huge in the NFT space, which is cool. So,
well, and he's kind of gave Sean, who has been helping us so much with the newsletter, he also posted on Facebook last week about the Panini Prism drop. And that had like one of the most viewed and commented on posts that we've seen in a while. Like 12,000 people viewed it, almost 300 comments. Anyways, there's obviously some attention to the space. So we figured for the guys who want to know more, we'll do like a little bit of a watch and learn of how to peruse the Panini world.
But that thing's good. So the Spinatron interview,
you're doing it.
Okay. Either way, we just do that on StreamYard. So you can cast it live to YouTube and Facebook or no? What do you do? Where are you doing it at? In the Facebook?
This is on Facebook. Yeah, in the Facebook group.
So it'd be cool to put a clip of that on our YouTube. But
yeah, I'm sure we could.
Okay, whatever. Cool. I like that.
Any other announcements before we get into a little mailbag?
I don't think so.
My butterflies are a little gone away, but they're not completely gone. I went to bed last night and I had butterflies. And I woke up this morning and I had butterflies. And I don't know why I have so many.
Is it because you're quitting your job this like today?
I think the more I keep thinking about it, I think it I have is. To quit my job sooner than the end of the year. I think I have to quit at the end of the month.
Well, based on our schedule, wasn't the thing today we talked about December 6th?
Yes. December 6th would be Monday. That'd be the start date. So I would...
So you need to be done with that before then.
The Friday before, yeah, would be...
So you need to give your notice this week, this Friday.
Yeah, I probably need to. I mean, I don't think he's listening.
Me and Jesse had an interesting conversation, though. I did tell him we have a couple new opportunities that end up being pretty big. And mm-hmm. that was it. Like, we were... Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. Robert Frost.
I like
Frost
how you say poem. This as if like you're making giving me an ultimatum when I'm the one who already said
I'm
I was
glad it didn't come
this.
Off like that because that was the point of my call the other day. It was like, hey, I know you were planning on quitting. No, mm-hmm. you know the one I'm talking. And I was like, hey, by the way, though, if this goes through, I can't wait till the end of January. Like, I need you there beginning of December. So to your credit, you are stepping up.
You never said beginning of December. You said, and we had both agreed end of December. But now, as of this thing that we've got going on, I think I need to do even sooner than that. So
I agree.
So
and then we're getting a studio. Pretty sure. I'm gonna put the chance of us having a studio by the first of the year. Right now, I'm gonna put it at 43%.
43?
But that's trending up.
Actually, that's better than what I think that's a more realistic number. A lot of times you like to give a really optimistic number.
I'm known for my optimism. Sure.
Yeah. Not
my license says 5'9", so yep. All right, let's hit the mailbag and then be on our way.
Okay.
Man, I thought I had something else I was supposed to mention.
No, can't be good.
Picks
I don't know what it
from
is. all right. Before we get into our Facebook good friends with their mailbag questions.
By the way, let's start. Real quick, picks from phone. My last pick is you knock it. We went out to dinner. We're sitting in the whole backside of the restaurant. It was all glass right above the sidewalk. Some poor guy is just there on his phone texting somebody. Jesse is just leaning over and just tapping on the glass, looking at him.
I mean, it was so close. I could read what he was texting.
We need a live event here in Nashville once the show gets some ratings. Live event here in Nashville. Go to dinner with Jesse and just see him interact. Multiple party buses would have gladly picked this guy up, having himself a great time.
Really,
I went to my
ideas.
First ever speakeasy.
So those are cool, man.
I had three
no
Diet
windows.
Cokes. Really enjoyed it. It's not a joke either.
You also had some tater tots.
The tots were fantastic. I had a couple of wingies.
Mikey, like, don't even get me started.
Okay, mailbag.
Discord. Sprint 42 wants to know, smart to invest in Jimmy Butler as possible MVP, then sell high?
Here's the trouble. Jimmy Butler's had two really good seasons in a row. There hasn't been a ton of movement. So, I don't know. I think it's safe because I don't think he's going to drop off, but I wouldn't be expecting a big boom with him either.
Okay. M. Volk 2
M. from Night Discord. Shyamalan?
Oh, the same one. Any advice for someone who hasn't submitted a card for grading before? He's going to use Nash cards, but he says, what about cleaning, prepping the card prior to? Any common mistakes people make the first few times? Also, does the advice that you're about to give change for cards over 50 plus years old?
Yeah, over 50 years old, you don't need to prep them much. I mean, you just send them in. There's no surface to clean. You just send it. He's doing the first one thing correctly, though. If you can sub through someone else and get them to look over the card for the same cost, if you just go on SGC's website, it's going to cost you $30. Mm-hmm. Nash cards, it's $25 if you do everything yourself. So I just tell people, just have them do the full service. They will put it in the card saver. They will prep the card. They'll wipe off the service. They're not going to clean and buff it. And they will get, and you can even tell them, hey, if the card grades 8 or lower in your opinion, don't send it. Save me the money. It's still only going to cost you the $30. I would say use the full service there for $30 a card. That to me is a no-brainer. That's what I do. And I don't get a break on price anymore, by the way. Chris has gotten a little cheap with me lately. That's not true.
Come on, Chris.
Maybe, yeah. I also got a guy that drives into my house, Eric, the guy who works, lives right down the road, so I can't complain about anything.
Does Nash Cards do that for everybody, or is that just you?
I don't think Eric's making house calls. But I also gave Eric a wedding gift, and he literally drives by the house. It's actually a perfect fit.
Would you get him?
Cash. What else am I going to get him?
Oh, okay.
You think I'm going to go on like gift registry and go to Target? No.
Like a set of Ginsu knives or something? They can cut through cans.
What? Cut through this.
Seinfeld.
Read the next question.
Seinfeld.
Ooh,
Mr. Alt Art wants to know, I graded some of my cards with HGA and a few of them gemmed 9.5. One I am most intrigued by is a Desmond Bain orange cracked ice auto. That's a 9.5. Worth the crossover to PSA?
I don't know what the value is of the card. It's going to cost you at least $150. So the card to me has to be worth at least... to me, it's got to be worth at least 500 if it PSA 10s. So if that's the case, then sure, give it a shot.
Okay. Yeah. RB Moy.
This is the problem with Discord. These guys just make up handles.
There aren't actual names. RB Moy from Discord. Would it be good for the hobby if Fanatics bought Upper Deck in revived brands such as Exquisite and Ultimate? We see older cards from those SKUs from the early 2000s sell for huge money, and I always love them, but wonder if newer collectors would have only known high-end Panini, who have only known high-end Panini, will care as much about them in 2025.
I don't think older exquisite stuff is ever going to drop. That is the gold standard in the hobby. I also don't think there's even a shot that they buy Fanatics. They just re-upped their deal with the NHL.
Or Fanatics buys them.
Fanatics buying Upper Deck, so. Would it be cool? Honestly, no. They have enough now. I think it's cool that Upper Deck's going to stay independent.
I agree with that.
That to me is more intriguing.
I'd like to see where they go. That's another thing that, man, I keep referencing it, but there's a lot of room for like expansion and diversity of what you can do in the space that we're just now touching on. To see all of that under the helm of one company, I feel like you would not be able to be as creative in the card space as far as ideas and new things coming out. So yeah, that's a good
agreed.
Point. Facebook. Dave Greger wants to know. I like to make sure my wife and daughter, who are three rooms away, can still hear me.
Gotcha.
Dave Greger. I wonder if that was loud. I'm not as knowledgeable about the football market. I have heard that generally you want to invest in QBs. I wonder about the play Cooper Kupp's rookie. This sentence was phrased wrong.
Doesn't matter.
I wonder about the Cooper Kupp rookie. He's on pace to not only lead the league in receiving, but has a shot of most receiving yards ever in a season. Do you like the play of his prism?
First of all, let's take a breath. Cooper Kupp's very good. I don't think he's breaking a record this year. I mean, I know projections where he's at right now. I don't mind the wide receiver running back play. I don't think Cooper Kupp would be the guy I'd take. Because if you ask people who the top 10 receivers in football are, Cooper Kupp's probably the most forgotten name on that list. So I also don't think it's a terrible play because he's cheap anyways. But I'm not like sitting there pining over Cooper Kupp. I don't think many people are. So you got to hype has to play into this some a little bit, at least if you're going to get into non QBs for sure. So safe. Yeah. Upside meh.
Tristan Brown wants to know.
I think meh is like a 3.5 on a 1 to 10 for those to cross over.
Really? I would have said maybe like a 4. Okay.
3.5 too. Next.
Tristan Brown wants to know, I picked up an Aaron Rodgers Elite Series auto out of 5 a couple of weeks ago. Would you recommend holding until the playoffs or sell immediately?
Brag about it. Why don't you, pal? yeah, hold it to the playoffs. Why would don't sell it now. He's not playing. Playoffs. Okay. And he's as hated now as he's ever been. Hold to the playoffs. Yep.
Donovan Barnes, for Sports Boy and Mike, what are you looking to buy over the next few months, given where we're at in the season with the three major sports?
You take this. Are any sports cards on your agenda or not really?
Here's the thing. Now that I've invested so much into
celebs,
the celeb market side of things, I don't even think about like what I'm going to buy on the sports side. That being said, if any sports figure goes into a movie or TV show, then I'll consider buying it.
And for me, here's the thing. Boring time for me right now. I don't like buying in the middle of seasons because I think it's a bad time to do it. I'd rather get in lower if I can later. And I'm focused on the new house, hopefully 2 to 3 weeks out, and we're moving in. I'm still like two pieces short for the wall. So like a Griffey jersey is still like right at the top of my list. Memorabilia has become kind of my focus. Like a really nice entire roster all-star signed photo or something for the wall. That's kind of what I'm focusing on. And I'm going on like all 90s, early 2000s stuff. Guys I remember seeing, guys I grew up watching. So I'm kind of boring. Yeah.
Rob Meadows wants to know, this one's for me. This one's for Sports Boy. Who's the next celebrity auto you're going after? That Coolio was pretty cool. We'll probably try and find out more for my collection. Honestly, you know what? When it comes to sport, this is something I'm going to be going after. I want more skateboard cards. And I can't find as many, but in fact, I'll go ahead and show you guys now. I did get myself a PSA 10 Bam Margera auto from the Pop Century series. I think it's, I don't know. I grew up watching.
I don't think Bam's doing a lot of skating these days.
He still knows how to skate. Oh, I saw him on a thing.
But it's a sturdy board.
But like Tony Hawk, I would definitely, you know, the bigger names over there, I think would be really cool. Honestly, I think skateboarding was really the only sport I actively participated in. And granted, I didn't do it very well. I could almost ollie though. I knew how to ride a skateboard. So I like to think I'm pretty good. But that being said, I want some more of those.
You have motivated me to revise my last answer. You know, the number one item on my list, and I haven't even spent any time looking the last few weeks, I still want to get like that signed script of Seinfeld. I would it signed by Kramer, Jerry, and George, and Elaine. I'd like the whole foursome on there, but I would take the three or even just, a lot of them are just George and Jerry, which is fine too. But I think that's kind of cool. They do those autograph scripts. I mean, they're copies of the script, but who cares? I still think it's really cool. I would frame that up and put it in my office though.
Absolutely. For a wall piece, that'd be really cool.
I'll do a few more. We went too long earlier. Sorry.
Let's do David Bowman.
12 more.
I don't think we have them. What's the best way to look up a non-serial numbered SSP card print run?
Oh, that's a good question that I don't know. So for you guys, that SSP, super short print. Now with a Bowman card, with a lot of cards nowadays, it just says, hey, this card is, you know, 1/5, 1/5, you know, serial number to 5. SSPs, like the post Indy made the other day, the big head cards and tops. Remember the Tatis?
Yeah, the Tatis, yeah.
That's an SSP. And I'm using that as an example. They may have stated the print run. I haven't looked. I don't know how you find out, though, if it's not stated. Like, sometimes manufacturers will release that info. If they do, a lot of times it's on, like, Beckett's website or Cardboard Connection. You could check. But that's a good question. I'm not sure there's just, like, a master list with those. And I don't know that they always release those either.
Okay. I like it when something stumps you.
That's a good question, actually.
Makes me think you're human. Jordan Joseph wants to know.
What are the, you call me Big Papa.
Oh, yeah. No.
No Biggie? Okay.
We don't have the copyright. Jordan Joseph wants to know, what are the perks for running your flip game as an LLC? For example, tax Levitt? Breaks.
What? Is that Jordan Joseph? Gordon Joseph?
God.
Swing and a miss.
For example, tax breaks for supplies, write-off part of your mortgage for a home office, etc.
So you can do that with an LLC, with a corporation I can't speak to, I don't know. You can do that with an LLC or with just a simple sole proprietor. I ran the group, breaking company as just a DBA, doing business as sole proprietor. Just keep track of all your expenses. So you can do that either way. LLC just takes you takes away personal liability. But I don't necessarily know what the personal liability would be, so I'm not sure. So
one recommendation just for anybody
who's a tax guy. For sure.
Yeah, that would be probably the biggest recommendation. Yep. But also, like, if you're going to do anything like that, make it where you're going to be writing stuff off, get a card, like a credit card that dedicated only to that.
Yep.
You know, that you're only
get a PayPal
there.
Account dedicated to that. Simplify things as much as you can on your side.
Yeah, try not to intermingle personal expenses with business stuff. All right, Tim French wants to know, Jesse, what
it's not
do
business,
you think?
Just personal. There's nothing more personal than business. Mike Scott.
I knew it. It was good. Tim French was now, what do you think about wrestling cards being the next big thing to blow up? Lots of history, tons of colorful characters, plus a large and dedicated fan base. Looking at prices seems like an untapped market. So there actually was a little bit of an increase when everything increased
there was
back
a
in
big
Q2.
Boom. Yeah, yeah.
Because we were talking about, like, you know, Hulk Hogan stuff, a lot of like the WWF stuff before it became WWE. I don't know though overall, like when that becomes bigger, but my overall viewpoint of the card market right now, again, I've become a little bit more optimistic after reading that white paper. I think that we're still at the beginning of something to become very big. So if there is a fan base for the person, no matter, you know, I think there, you don't want like some rando card.
Who's the biggest wrestler when you were a kid?
Hogan was the first thing I would think of. Like
he was kind of past his prime when I was a kid.
Oh, absolutely. But that's still the first wrestler I think
Undertaker
of.
Undertaker was my guy when I was watching wrestling.
Oh, I was going to be like Cold Stone.
No, you got it. No. Cold Stone Steve. Yep.
Cold Stone Ice Cream Steve Austin.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Stone Cold Steve Austin was the other one.
I agree. He was huge.
And The Rock. But The Rock came a little later, didn't he?
A little bit, I think, yeah.
But that was still...
Bret Hart was big when I was a kid.
I don't even know him.
I got the first... I remember I actually got a pay-per-view once. It was... what's the
you
big
got a
thing?
Pay-per-view?
Is it WrestleMania?
Man, Richie Rich. We never had
And my dad got me one. It was when The Undertaker had a cage match with Mankind. I was like 10 or 12 years old.
Mankind freaked me out as a kid.
I'm not going to lie. It's interesting. As much as like other interest in sports like wanes, like baseball now, I'm like, I used to love it. Wouldn't miss a game. Now I'm like, I've never been more hot and cold than anything in my life. I was all about wrestling until I was probably 12. And I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Like it's just weird, but I was all about it when I was a kid.
Yeah. Well, I think there's still room for those cards to make a play. But when that happens, not sure.
Yeah.
Get whoever you like. That's
Sting.
What I say.
I remember Sting being big.
Yeah, he has those songs like the
Big
the Police.
Show. Big Show was good.
Zachary Shawn Lewis Michael. Wants to know, Art Michael,
yep.
With running backs like Jonathan Taylor.
Thomas.
Yep. Do you sell now while he's playing out of his mind or hold to see if there's additional growth? Since running backs have such short careers and their prime usually only lasts a couple years. I feel like now may be the time to sell. Thoughts?
I concur. Next question. I think he answered his own question. I agree with it.
Go ahead. Okay. Yep. Actually, I think this is our last question.
Perfect. Last.
Zach Dinges. After reading the Josh Luber piece over the weekend, I got really interested in the CL Card Ladder 50 Index. For the super high-end cards on the list, would you rather own a fractional piece of the card or a lower grade of a similar card? For example, fractional ownership of the Bowman Chrome Brady PSA 10 versus physical copy of a lower grade Bowman paper Brady.
I want to own the card from me. I will do both. I'm messing around with fractional a little bit now, If I had my choice, though, I'd rather have, instead of 2% equity in a PSA 10, I'd rather just own a PSA 7.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's fair.
I like the cards.
I like the fractional play because I don't like investing that much money into a single card either. So that's my personal opinion on it. You know what I just realized as we're finishing up? I'm noticing like it's darker in my room and it's because the sun's not in the right place. I think that's part of the butterflies. This whole time change, I'm tired of it. I'm going on record. I'm over daylight savings time.
Time change is really such a joke. I mean, how many people are farming nowadays? I don't know. Why are we shifting my whole schedule around a farmer? I don't.
It's not. You're going to start getting posts like it's not all about the farmers. It's different stuff. Here's the bottom line.
If you're going to write Tennessee, an email,
Tennessee passed the law that we're not supposed to do it anymore. But because it has to do like it affects federal commerce, that means like the U.S. government has to approve us no longer doing daylight savings time. And there's like us and a number of other states that they just haven't gone through and said, yeah, you're okay to do this.
You got to do it across the board or don't do it across the board. Either way, it has to be uniform.
You know, Arizona doesn't recognize
it. I'm aware. I don't really recognize Arizona for anything. What good's coming out of Arizona? I don't know.
Diamondbacks. That's a thing.
Yeah. Great. Worst team in baseball. Awesome.
Oh,
the Phoenix Suns are good though. Sorry. There you go. I don't think we have anything else to announce. We're good. So we'll be back Thursday. I'm putting the probability at 70% that Josh Luber joins us Thursday or Monday or Thursday next week. One of the next three shows.
If you guys want
to guess, I think we're going to have one there. I'm going to say Simmons comes on once in November. I'm going to text him again and see. And Jason Flynn to talk soccer cards in a beautiful Irish accent.
I want a basketball guy to come on, which would be good for Bill to come on and talk about it.
There you go.
I want you to be able to bounce some more stuff off of a basketball guy.
Okay.
Bounce it like a basketball.
Thursday, if Josh is here, we're going to open with that. If not, we'll open like with a sports thing again. I just thought today was cool to like mix it up. We keep doing like the weekend recap, and that's kind of how we start the show. I was like, you know, we just had like a major document drop that, you know, from one of the most well-known people in the hobby. So I was like, let's kind of change it up a little bit. As opposed to just, hey, this game happened. Let's look up a PISM PSA 10 card of this guy, and you should buy or sell. Felt nice to do something a little different today.
I agree. 100%. I'm on board.
All right. There you go. Sports cards, nonsense. Make sure you check out our socials, Twitter, Instagram, the Facebook group. We're closing on 20K there, which is pretty cool.
Very cool.
I was going to say something else, but I don't remember. The website, sportscardsnonsense.com. All of our card services and affiliate deals are on there. So you can save money on like, you can get free money and or save money on Star Stock, on Card Ladder, ColumbiaHobby.com for supplies. We got a deal worked out with them. ZionCases.com. We have a deal worked out with them as well. And then if you're looking to like consign to grade cards, where to break, local shops, all that stuff is on there as well. So make sure you check that out under Card Services. Card Ladder, there's a promo code for them as well. I don't know if I said that or not. Maybe not. Yeah, perfect. So there you go. Brought to you by Spotify. See you on Thursday.
Bye, bud.
Goodbye.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.